Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. I want to give a huge shout out to Scoop Boots for sponsoring our 2025 podiatry clinic here in Amesbury, Massachusetts. It is sold out, and by the time this gets published, it's actually happening tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday, October 25th and Sunday, October 26th. While you can't attend in person, you can still purchase the clinic recordings before the event at thehumblehoof.com/shop. But once the event's over, you can no longer purchase them. So if you want to learn more about conformation and upper body issues and how it affects the hoof, along with biomechanics in these cases, then go check it out. A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 15% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes, and the TPU gaiter allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, for 15% off a pair of Treks, use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. Most of you know that I'm involved with barefoot rehab, so 99% of the work that I do with hooves is transitioning horses from shod to barefoot and getting their feet stronger over time. Dave McDonald, who is a co-founder of Scoop Boots, also is involved in barefoot rehab. And by the time he invented his first boot in 1998, he had already had 12 years in the hoof care world. So by this point, he has almost 40 years of experience in hoof care, and a lot of that was spent with figuring out how to get horses comfortable and sound barefoot. I reached out to Dave to chat with me about what barefoot rehab looks like and what kind of horses he sees benefit from this work. All right, so why don't we start, and you can tell us a little bit about how you got into hoof care, your journey into the hoof care world.
Okay, well, basically it started back in the late 70s. I've probably been around horses and horses' feet now for at least a good over 40 years, and initially it started as a young fellow. I left the family farm and went, got a bit adventurous and headed up into Northern Australia and started working on cattle properties and obviously large stations, we call them in Australia. Here in US they call them ranches. So we got some very big properties around Australia, and I became what's called jackaroo. That's where you do all the stock work and basically a cowboy, they call it in the US, but stockman in Australia. And with that, we did a lot of what was called cowboy shoeing in those days. You just learned to shape a shoe on an anvil and then put it on, nail it on, and that was, to keep the horses sound. So that's where I initially started putting shoes on back then. And then throughout the course of the next few years, I went over to the US and then started working on ranches around the US, got into training horses, and then I eventually became a farrier. I went to shoeing school, became a farrier, came back to Australia and started up my shoeing business, and obviously, enhanced the way I went about shoeing horses and learned a bit more about the structures of the horse's hooves. And that's sort of the journey that it went until I discovered barefoot and the benefits of barefoot.
Yeah, and you've been a strong advocate for, the whole barefoot movement in general for years. And so I would love to hear a little bit about what led you to look into that and kind of look into the idea that removing shoes could relieve some of the most common hoof pathologies.
Yeah, it was back in 2000. We had a German vet by the name of Hildred Strasser. She came over to Australia. You probably know all about her. I give her and Jamie Jackson credit for really tipping the scales over towards barefooting. And I went to this clinic of hers, and probably the big takeaway from that, she showed a pedal bone that had been compromised on a young racehorse that had been shod as a two-year-old, because here in Australia, our racing industry, the two-year-old racing is the more money in the two-year-old racing than what it is in the older thoroughbreds. And as you can imagine, a two-year-old, they're still babies, and so their feet hadn't had a chance to develop. And so by shoeing early like that causes insurmountable issues with the development of the hooves. And this particular pedal bone was only probably was two-thirds the size of what it should have been, and it just showed why the horses off the track, the thoroughbreds in general here in Australia and obviously worldwide, have issues with their feet. And so when I saw that, she basically backed up all her comments of the negativity shoeing with this actual proof. And obviously people say this and that, but when you see proof, it actually sticks in your mind. And that's when I realised that what we'd been doing for hundreds of years actually was detrimental in the long term. And that's really the person that changed my outlook on how to, you know, what's best for horses' feet.
Yeah. And so here in the States, Strasser is like a very controversial, Strasser method is a very controversial style. Is that similar in Australia?
Yeah, that's, unfortunately, it copped a bit of flack. Some of the, probably due to the hoof knife, a lot of the students took to horses pretty aggressively with a hoof knife and, regularly sawing up horses. And I think that was being over enthusiastic rather than, sticking to her, sort of principles. So, yeah, it's always been a controversial trimming method. But as I say, I still give her the kudos for along with Jamie Jackson, for leading the barefoot movement. Probably the biggest thing I got from Hilda Strasser is identifying the pathologies and the reasons why they've occurred. So I certainly give Hilda Strasser a pretty strong vote for being one of the leaders of this barefoot movement.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and I'm a hoof care provider as well, and my entire business is focused on, hoof rehabilitation and growing stronger feet. And even today I saw two horses that I recently pulled out of shoes in the group of horses I trimmed, and just, pointing out some of the changes that we're seeing in their feet with the owners, just having a different approach to their hooves. So I would love to hear a little bit from your perspective about what changes happen within the hoof when you're taking a horse barefoot. We're talking about hoof pathologies a little bit. Like, we see horses with navicular laminitis and oftentimes become much more comfortable as their foot becomes more functional. And I'd love to hear a little bit about what you see in those cases as well.
Well, the first initial pretty damning is when most of the horses that I came across for transitioning, once I pulled the shoes off, the most obvious issue was lack of digital cushion. There was a lot of atrophy. The majority of the horses, the thoroughbreds, had atrophy to the digital cushion. And that's very glaring. And that's why when you see these horses that have shoes on, that the bulbs are so insignificant, and that's really the major issue that you see. You get a lot of flat, the thoroughbreds, the walls aren't correctly trimmed. They usually shoe racetracks, they shoe to the white line. They don't, spend a lot of time shaping the foot. So most of the thoroughbreds I was coming across, that's what they had total, their walls had collapsed, no strength in the walls, and no digital cushion. Obviously off the racetrack, very rarely you see the, lateral cartilage issues and things from concussion, but it's just the shaping of the foot, and the digital cushion is the most obvious problem, and that's where I start, you know, you put that with the bare foot, you see that the digital cushion development in the you know wild horses and horses that have been never been shod, or the horses that have shod late in life. So these transitioning horses, that's the most obvious issue that I'd seen, and also navicular issues, obviously with the thoroughbreds with underrun collapsed heels, because obviously on the track the heels would run forward, they'd be underrun. They get too long in the toe, and obviously that would put a lot of stress on the navicular bursa with long toes. So yeah, these were the issues that were continually coming in front of me with these horses that, you know, that I was trying to transition.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're if you knew this, but I run a hoof rehab facility here in the United States, and almost every single horse that comes into my facility has a navicular diagnosis. So that is also one of my passions, and you know, one of the biggest things that I see in helping them in improvement is allowing their feet to function properly biomechanically, and that's something that, you know, I'm constantly taking slow motion video and watching how they're moving. So in your experience, what do people often misunderstand about how the hoof functions biomechanically, and how do you see trimming changing that function?
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately, as far as farriers go, there's not a lot of emphasis in what is an ideal shape hoof. There's too much effort put into the angles on the, you know, the dorsal wall, the pastern bone and so forth like that. But what my take, I've tried to simplify it over the years. I know lots of organisations come out with different sort of trimming methods, and a lot of people get confused, but the basics that I look for is you've got to have a healthy frog. The frog has to be getting, you know, plenty of ground contact, and all the development of the hoof capsule really starts with the frog. You know, as we know, as you know yourself, that circulation, shock absorption, that's critical that the frog is doing its work. And that's probably the most obvious issue, especially the quarter horse type breeds. They don't have any, they have too much heel. They're focused on getting the heel up and getting steep angles, but the frog's not getting any work. And then as soon as the frog's not getting any work, you get all your issues with the frog. We know that it plays a big role in preventing decontraction of the hoof. So that's the first thing I look at when I'm transitioning, is trying to develop a nice frog. And the only way you can get a good frog is by getting the heels down low enough that the frog is actually loading satisfactorily. So that's probably the best guide to a healthy hoof, not the angles of the walls or the pasterns or whatever you're looking at, but the actual foot tells a story. The frog, that's a nice big wedge shaped frog, and you know that foot is getting, as I said, shock absorption, getting plenty of circulation, and obviously you're not going to get any contraction while the frog's working correctly. So yeah, that's really the telltale signs of what you've got to achieve when you're trying to get a transition. And obviously now another thing we know, which is vital, is not getting the touching the rasp around the sole, the like between the tip of the apex of the frog and the end of the toe. That area of sole should never be rasped on a barefoot horse. And that's why, unfortunately, so many of our people that we never get the chance to talk to, they decide to transition. The farrier does a farrier trim, he rasps the foot flat as though he's going to seat a shoe, and in the process he takes off that vital area of sole that has got to callus up, because that area between the tip of the frog and into the toe, that's the thinnest part of the sole on the entire horse, and nature wants that calloused up to keep the horse sound and, you know, reduce sensitivity. But unfortunately, the farrier takes the shoes off, rasps the foot, the horse is then foot sore, and then the customer basically gets told, see, I told you so, if you take your shoes off, your horse has got to have shoes, and that's why it's limping. But the sensitivity is simply because it's been incorrect trim, and that's why the message is barefoot, as we need to promote that message, that to be able to successfully transition, you've got to have the correct trim. It's that simple.
Yeah, and you're talking about the frog, and one of my favorite things, because I take photos of the feet when I pull, you know, if I, anytime I come to a new horse, whether shod or barefoot, I take pictures of their feet. And just one of the easiest things to notice as their feet become more functional, like you're saying, is noticing their frogs change and how they can develop and widen and become so much more engaged and healthy. And that's, I love that. So I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So I know that we talked a little bit about navicular, but which pathologies or what other pathologies have you seen respond particularly well to this kind of rehab? And are there any that consistently surprise you with how much they improve, or if you have any examples?
Yeah, well, obviously, when you got a properly functioning hoof and you got good strong walls, that's really part of it. And then when you got strong walls, you know, and then you've got good digital cushion, you know, you're getting plenty of shock absorption. The issues that you come across, especially with the high-heeled horses, with the frogs not getting to work, you get a lot of pedal osteitis, say, for instance, because so many horses are working on these hard surfaces, and that extra concussion is a major issue. Calcification, lateral cartilage is another one. Obviously, your ring bones. Usually, if you get a low ring bone, there's not much you can do about that. It's sadly for the horse, it's not a good condition to have. I know as a farrier, we put rolled toes on the shoes to try and speed up the breakover and so forth. But obviously, all these pathologies that are the concussion-related pathologies that to do with too much forces, and that's usually the steeper type hooves that seem to have those issues. Whereas the thoroughbreds, I never used to come across too many issues with the concussion type issues, other than, you know, with the digital cushion undeveloped. Then when they come off the track, then when the customer decides to use them as a, you know, for their leisure activities, that's when the issues occur if your horse hasn't got developed digital cushion, and that's obviously a major problem. But on the track, it's not that much of a common issue on the track. You do see horses, which is pretty evident when the horses come in the mounting yards before the race. You can see when they lead the strappers lead the horses around, that everybody talks about it. You can actually see the horses that's not going to run too well because they got toe first loading. And obviously when the tracks get, especially here in Australia, you get hard tracks in the summertime when the ground dries out. That's when these horses that are toe first landing, as soon as they come to hard tracks, they have to be scratched or spelled simply because they can't run on the hard tracks. And that's to do, obviously, a lot to do with the shape of their feet and the lack of development, again, I say, of the digital cushion.
Yeah, and this is kind of an aside. Here in the States, I'd say, you know, we used to have a track, like a thoroughbred racing track near my house, within half an hour, that closed down, but we have a lot of off-the-track thoroughbreds. I trim a lot of them. And I would say I do see a lot of pedal osteitis in them, but are you saying in Australia you don't typically see them with pedal osteitis?
Not as much.
Interesting. I wonder why. Yeah. I wonder why that's an issue. And it's something where, you know, the owners will get radiographs, and one of the biggest objections that veterinarians will say when I'm going to meet a thoroughbred is, well, they can't be barefoot because they have pedal osteitis. And I'm like, well, let's just see what happens when they're barefoot. But that's
one of the issues too. Just on touch on the radiographs. That's one a lot of the radiographs are actually when we talk about navicular and so forth, a lot of false prognosis. I'll talk about that later on in a case that I had. But it's so hard to get a real clear radiograph. And a lot of times I've seen customers that have said that they've been told by their professional that the horse has got navicular, and that's the end of their performance, riding days. And I've said, let's have a look at your x-rays and we'll see, you know, have a look, because it could not be that. And sure enough, so many times I've seen radiographs that's fairly blurred, as you know what they're like, and then a close look at the navicular bursa area, they've been a clean image. And so that, you know, misreading x-rays radiographs is a major problem in the industry.
Yeah, we actually recently had a veterinarian on the podcast talking about radiographs and how certain, you know, the how they're taken can really affect basically how we're interpreting them. So yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, and you know, when we're talking about developing these feet and getting them stronger, something that I attribute as one of the biggest factors is movement. And I know that you talk about movement also being the key to recovery. So can you elaborate a little bit on how movement, especially in a barefoot horse, can contribute to healing and hoof development?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, circulation is the vital, probably the number one. Removing the shock absorption, also circulation. Circulation, same with humans, when their circulation issue, you know, if they struggle with circulation, all sorts of areas come under compromise. And it's so vital when you are transitioning a horse to barefoot that you maximise the best you can with the circulation. And obviously the frog is the number one area of that. Removing concussion to the hoof capsule, which is vital, and not over trimming, and I say trimming correctly. So you can, we've got quite a lot of horses. There's a trainer down here in Australia that I eventually convinced to go barefoot, but unfortunately he was having great success, but unfortunately the racing here in Australia is sort of run by the stewards and they don't allow barefoot racing, which is a tragedy. And this particular trainer, he had 30 odd horses in work. And eventually with barefoot trimming, every single one of these thoroughbreds ended up with beautiful, strong, healthy, sound hooves, where the word go around with that you hear around constantly, thoroughbreds have got bad feet. I don't know if that's a common...
it's common here, yeah.
Yeah, but with correct trimming and obviously good diet, their hooves are as strong as I found as any other breed. It's all to do with how they're rehabbed. And obviously getting circulation, you get blood flow, and that's great for, it combined with good feed, correct feed, that the walls will strengthen up. And once you get strong hooves, you've got something there to support the horse. And that's, you got to keep the horse moving to get circulation. And that's where, as I say, by leaving that toe callus alone and letting that callus up and stay calloused, which nature requires, and that's probably one of the reasons I came up with this with one of my new boots, which is the Theroride, which has got a replaceable sole, therapeutic sole, that's got a long life, which does away a lot of the issues that people have with pads chopping up really quickly. These Theroride pads have got high level of shock absorption and they're very strong. And so when you're doing all these pathologies, you keep the horse walking, the Theroride really works well there because it's high level of shock absorption and also airflow, so it breathes. So that's the other issue with transitioning. A horse has got to be continually booted or whatever. The airflow and so forth prevents bacteria issues in the hoof. So around the hoof. So it sort of allows like an easier transition because we're getting rid of that number one issue, which is shock to the hoof capsule. And that continual movement obviously then increases the circulation, which is vital to get a good rehab.
Yeah. And what you just described is basically exactly how I approach almost every single case that comes into my property is, you know, we address the diet, we make sure that they're moving and we use boots and pads for comfort so that they're continually moving and continually stimulating their feet. Since the feet are a neurosensory organ that respond to their movement and environment. And I see similar, like what you're saying, we see such great development with that kind of, you know, the secret sauce of those three things in so many horses. I mean, it's really wonderful to see their feet change and see them get more comfortable and sound.
Yeah, part of that, which Hildred Strasser was very strong on, is rehabbing with horses abscessing. That's nature's way of getting rid of the dead corium inside the hoof capsule, and that's how nature purges the capsule via abscesses. And what a lot of people find when they get on that barefoot direction, that abscesses rarely appear in, you know, in a good, healthy, functioning barefoot. So there's a lot of information out there that people that do enough research can benefit by. And there's some really good research being done in Sweden at the moment, which has never done before, talking, you know, monitoring what's actually going on inside a hoof capsule during movement, the difference between having shoes on the hooves and barefoot, also at different speeds, walking, trotting, cantering. It's really groundbreaking information that's going on, which Jamie Jackson, for instance, has been, and Hilda Strass, been talking about for a long time. It's actually getting, what they've said is actually coming forward with the research. So, it's all exciting stuff.
So what are the most common mistakes that people make when pulling shoes, especially with horses that, like we're talking about, that are already dealing with a pathology? What are some mistakes that you see owners make when they're going barefoot?
Number one is when they do pull the shoes, doing a trim straight away. I always think that if you're doing a, you know, once you when you start to transition, just take the shoes off, give the horse a week walking around, feeling his feet again, getting the simulation going, because as us barefooters know that once you take the shoes off, you get the horse's hooves start to get more feeling in them. They get to feel their feet. They can feel the different sorts of terrain under their feet. And that's due to the circulation. All the sensory areas of the hoof start to come to life, basically. So it's vital not to over-trim the foot initially. And this is where, again, Jamie Jackson takes credit for this, which we give it to him for this, is with his Paddock Paradise, which was a great innovation, and that's the one that most people know about, where the big circle tracks, the water's up one end, the horses have got to move along these tracks to get to water. Well, that's a real good way. A horse will go anywhere for his water. And so being able to keep them moving on these tracks to get the stimulation is a really great method of keeping the movement happening. And obviously, if the horse's hooves haven't been trimmed too aggressively to start with, the horse is going to be, you know, within a few days of starting to feel his feet again, he's going to be able to, you know, move a lot better. And then when the cycle does come around, well, then just a light trim to start with. It's always less is more, is a good saying in the horse industry. So, yeah, being able to give them time to adjust to being barefooted. Once they get the feel of the feet, it doesn't matter if they're a bit sore, if they, whatever the pathology was, the horse will use his own ground feeling ability through the senses in his hooves to be able to navigate tracks. And one of the big one is it's a bit like a human. If we take our shoes off and their feet aren't used to being bare, when we walk down a gravel, a rocky path, you sort of feel your way down a rocky path. You don't just walk naturally down a rocky path, and that's because our feet can feel the rocks and so forth under our feet. Well, that's exactly the same with a horse. So it's vital when you are transitioning is to give it time. Don't rush it. And we also know that for a good transition, the horse owner has to be disciplined to want to do what's necessary to be able to get a horse transitioned and not be trying to go about it impatiently and try and achieve the results too quickly, because that's just not, doesn't work. So, yeah, so it's that movement, let the horse do it at his own pace, and then you start to get everything starting to work.
Yeah, and we actually at my farm have two track systems, and it's been a huge passion of mine for just about 10 years now. So I love that you mentioned that. And when we're talking about getting these horses sounder barefoot, I'm sure that you hear this. I hear this all the time where, you know, you might have somebody who worries that their horse has a pathology that's just too severe, or it's been going on too long, and they're worried that they can't transition their horse to barefoot. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you determine if a horse is a good barefoot candidate.
Well, usually we know that if it's caudal heel failure, you know that the horse is usually walking toe first, and that's what is pretty evident with a lot of, as I said, the thoroughbreds and the racing industry, when they, their heels have collapsed, they're either usually more collapsed than under run. That's usually due to irregular shoeing. The two lot left, and that's the other thing we need to touch on with customers that, that have continually had their horses shod, is that that because of the cost, that's another thing that comes into this transitioning area, is that if they've short, if it's due to cost, then they leave the shoes on a lot longer than they should be left on. You know, they stretch it out. A horse shouldn't be left, you know, more than 4 weeks for a shoe replacement. And what a lot of people unfortunately look at is just how the shoe, how well the shoes are on after 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. If the shoes are come off quickly, they say it's a bad shoeing job. If the horse is, you know, up to 10, 11, 12, if the shoes are still on, they say that's a good shoeing job. So a lot of people look at it just whether it's cost effective or not. So the majority of horses, the majority of the pathologies you can rehab. It's the ones, as I mentioned, like genuine navicular disease. Well, that's, we know that if the navicular burst has been ruptured or there's any bony growth around the navicular bone, that's basically permanent. The ring bones, especially lower ring bone, that's basically, there's not much you can do there. You know, speed up the breakover, but there's still really, that's a not a good outcome for a horse. There are certain pathologies that, that if the horse has got them, you know that really there's not much you can do. Arthritis is another one that, you know, horses work too hard. Obviously, the older horses, most of them are going to end up with arthritis, you know, in their old age. But when the onset in a younger horse, by getting a good functioning hoof and the use of obviously boots for riding so forth, you're going to reduce the onset of the of and the levels of degree of discomfort from arthritis. So there's one or two that you can alleviate, some that you can't, but obviously, you know, with good trimming, you get the heels correct again, correct trimming, get the foot up, get the foot well shaped, get the wall strong by getting good healthy growth into the walls to be able to support the hoof for the transition period. So yeah, it's a fairly evident which pathologies you can alleviate, which ones you can't do anything about. And so it's up to the hoof care professional to make a judgment and be honest with the customer what the long-term prognosis is, I guess. That's probably a good way to put it.
Yeah, and then obviously there's those ones that surprise us. But yeah, I mean, definitely being realistic and setting the expectations is important. And so if you have somebody who, or if there are people that are listening that are interested in barefoot rehab, if you could give them one piece of advice to, you know, either owners or hoof care professionals for a horse that might have some hoof issues or kind of considering other options, what would it be?
It definitely works, number one, with correct trimming. You've got to know that the person doing your hoof care knows alternative methods, especially to putting shoes on to fix pathologies or create soundness. They've got to be patient. That's probably number one of a customer that, that wants to transition. Usually, this is what I've found, you know, the last 40-odd years, is that a lot of professionals treat their horses like a farmer treats his tractor. The ones that the usually the women are more conscious of the health of their horses because their horse is their best friend. And so therefore those horse owners that treat them as their best friend are more likely to persevere, whereas professionals who turn over a lot of horses, they're very impatient when it comes to transitioning or not even wanting to transition.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I've really only been in the hoof care world for just over 10 years. And so in the relative grand scheme of things, it's a fairly new thing for me. So I didn't get to see all that start, like when you're talking about, you know, Strasser and Jamie Jackson, who had kind of pioneered this movement. So I didn't see it back then. I've kind of just seen it when people were starting to get more interested in it and more excited. So do you think that in general, we're moving towards a broader acceptance of barefoot as a viable option for performance or rehab horses, or do you still see a lot of resistance to it?
Yeah, it seems to be that it seems to be the barefoot message seems to be getting out there. It's the last, so the last 20 years, it's really, really started to evolve. The only issue that I have is different parties coming up with different types of trims and, you know, some to make their mark on the industry themselves. I like to keep it simple based on the way Jamie Jackson looked at it. And that was, like, here in Australia, we've got the wild horses, which we call the Brumbies, that run the plains and mountains. In the US, you've got your Mustangs, and they develop a hoof capsule to suit their environment. Like in Australia, you say we've got a Brumby that runs on the plains, then those hooves are going to have more abrasion to them than what a horse that Brumby that runs in the mountains. Or like in the softer areas, running over rock and aggressive sand, they evolve to a certain shape. And that shape is what's practical. And the keeping it simple is simply this, is you put it down to two or three things. Is one, number one, is not letting the heels get too high. Forget about angles of hoof walls and so forth. Just look at the frog. Look at the frog on the horse's hoof. If the frog is narrow and soft, especially in the damper conditions, if it's narrow and the heels are high, you know that frog's not getting any loading. So therefore, the heels are going to come down. So correct loading in the frog is number one. Toe length, you cannot get too long in the toe. Nature breaks it away on the plains in a Mustang or a Brumby on the plains. Nature rolls that toe, natural roll, and that's what keeps a good break over without loading up your, like your deep digital flexor tendon, superficial flexor tendons. Having that nice, shorter rolled toe is vital. And the other one is the actual hoof wall. That's the biggest one we see issue with these trimmers who rasp the foot flat. A barefoot horse should never be rasped flat, because in the wild, through the quarters, that's where the foot breaks out, because nature wants it to get rid of it. So that's why you always have these dips in the quarter, which takes loading off the actual wall through the widest part of the foot. And so these basically three components to a trim, I say, is so simple. So when you approach the horse, you look at the horse and you can see where areas that the hoof has got issues, and then you change that. So it's a very simple, really, a barefoot trim is a very simple process if the person doing it understands what the foot should look like. And the other one, which is a common mistake, is, as I touched on before, is rasping the toe callus. So that if anybody rasps that, well, then you've got issues and you're going to hold back the speed of your transition. And unfortunately, if the person keeps doing it, the horse is always sore after trim, and then they never get proper transition. So there's only one or two things, three aspects of trimming that has got to be undertaken to get that, and also the wall. Obviously, you will do that as well. They do a 45-degree bevel around the wall too. That takes the lever forces off the outside wall to stop the walls chipping and so forth. So, yeah, it's a very simple thing, a good barefoot trim, and there shouldn't be too much science applied to it, especially with the customers, the actual trimmer, relating to the customer what they've got to do to their hoof, their horse's hooves, to be able to achieve this transition. And then on top of that, you just say patience. You've got to have patience to not to rush the process.
Right, exactly. And like what you're saying, it's the hoof care provider might come out every 4 weeks or every, however many weeks, but the owner is there with the horse and able to do a lot of that management and changes to make sure that they're comfortable and sound, and like we're talking about, through diet and movement and things like that. So yeah, absolutely. And so, kind of as like a send off to wrap up, I was wondering if you could think of maybe a particular case or story from your career of a horse that, had maybe such a great recovery or rehab through barefoot that reaffirmed your commitment to it?
Yeah, the one that stands out for me happened, time flies, it's probably nearly 20 years ago now. I was at Equitana Australia, And after Equitana, all the business owners, because in those days I did the old Mac boots, that was my first boot. And we went out, all the business people went out to dinner, and we were all sitting around talking during the dinner. And a lady sitting next to me got on to, she supplied feed for racing stables. That was her job. Anyway, we got to talking, and Navicula came up, and she said, "Oh, this horse, I wish I'd known a bit about barefoot, so forth, before this horse was turned off the track." I said, "What do you mean happened?" And she said, "Oh, the horse has been diagnosed with Navicula." And I said, I wouldn't put that down as gospel. I reckon if it probably got some sort of Navicula syndrome, it should be looked at. I reckon it can be fixed." And she didn't believe me. And she thought I was just off with the fairies, as we say. Anyway, so I said, she said, "I'll talk to the owner of this horse and see whether he'd be willing to talk to this farrier that said he could fix his horse." And anyway, sure enough, Noel Forrest was the name of the owner, and I got this call. He didn't believe what I was saying, but he thought he loved his horse so much that he thought, well, it's worth exploring. This horse was a champion racehorse that had had quite a few starts, with won a lot of races, and then it was diagnosed with Navicula by the top veterinary centre in the area, pretty well-known one, I won't mention names, and the leading farriers who worked alongside the vets at this veterinary operation. And so when I went up there, the first thing I noticed, this horse, the horse's name was Chirua, and he'd been told that this horse was finished racing, was not going to be good for a trail horse anymore because of the issues, and just as a paddock pet. So when I saw it, the horse was in a lot of pain. He was walking on his toes out in the yard, and straight away I realised what the issue is. And this is the big one, which I didn't touch on before, is that weight-bearing bars are one of the biggest causes of horses being falsely diagnosed with Navicula, because the symptoms present exactly the same. You get the pain, the cork, because as you're probably aware, the bars are a continuation of the hoof wall. So the bars should be trimmed every time the hoof wall's trimmed. And this horse had weight-bearing bars and was walking around like it had stilettos on, and it was just a three-year-old that couldn't walk. Anyway, so I told him what was going on. I said, "I'm pretty confident this horse's racing career hasn't finished." It was a big call on my behalf. So I trimmed the horse, and then the horse you could tell a horse is happy. His ears went up and he started to feel fairly good. But obviously we know with weight-bearing bars, they cause inflammation in the sulcorium. So therefore there's a lot of pain in there, and it doesn't change overnight. But anyway, the next morning the horse was in the yards, the round yard across from the house, and the owner's wife called out, "Noel, quick, come and have a look at this." And this horse was jumping around in the yard like a three-year-old horse. It was jumping around like a colt in the yard. It was so happy, and he just ran outside and had a look, and he said, "I just don't believe this has happened." And this horse was totally sound. And so what then I said, "Well, we've got to get rid of the inflammation for a start." Okay, so I trimmed the bars down. We had to get rid of the inflammation. I said it'd take at least a week to start seeing the major improvements. And then for his daughter to start walking the horse around the trails to get the feet working again. And within 6 months, this horse had been condemned, basically. That's one of the things he was told, that probably best to euthanize the horse, but the daughter had an affection for this horse, so they decided they didn't want to go down that track. And then 6 months, horse was back in work at the local track and won another two or three races before he was turned out to pasture. So that's a very evident and well-known case that weight-bearing bars are often diagnosed as Navicula when it's nothing to do with Navicula. And I actually put that story up on a farrier site in the US, and I got a lot of action there. There was a lot of that Aussie just doesn't know what he's talking about. He's telling porkies, you know. So it was a lot of feet, lot of pushback from it, but that was a fact that this horse, from being condemned, was back on the track winning races. So that's a great story about how certain and evident that weight-bearing bars cause a lot of horses to be unfortunately put into all sorts of, you know, therapeutic shoes, when a simple trim would have been the course to full recovery. So that's the other thing I give to people, is to, if they've got a horse that's loading, you know, walking toe first and reluctant to put the weight in the caudal area, is to check the bars to make sure they're not weight-bearing. So, because as we know, the bars are there specifically to support the heels, but weight-bearing bars cause significant inflammation to the sole corium. So that's a really, really strong message I put out there. Always, if you're, before your horse gets put into therapeutic shoes, check the bars, see if the bars are not weight-bearing. And if they are, trim the horse and give it a couple of weeks and you should find the horse will be sound.
Yeah, and I always say, you know, the horse is the final judge, so they're the one who's going to tell us if what we're doing is is the right, you know, the right way to go. And if you have a sound horse after what you're doing, then you're doing something right. So that's great. Well, thank you so much for being willing to share so much about your experiences and things that you've learned and worked on and seen over there. And I really appreciate your time today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah, I hope it helps. And yeah, and like I say, just tell all the barefooters out there, it can be done. Anything's achievable. Just got to be patient and go about it the right way. Just it's not just a matter of pulling the shoes off and rasping the feet, but it's got to be done in the barefoot friendly way. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. All right. Well, have a good rest of your day. And
thank you.
All right, bye. Bye.
If you want to reach out to Dave directly to discuss barefoot questions or hoof pathologies, you can email scootboot@scootboots.com and they'll make sure that your questions go directly to Dave. There's also a lot of great hoof health resources available at scootboots.com. I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person, and chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too, so we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.